Mind Canyon is an entirely improvised podcast. Music and sound effects are added afterwards. Topics are devised by Charlie Kemp and Steve Dawson. This week's cast are...
Richard Soames.
Claire Plested.
Angus Duncan.
Mind Canyon.
Mind Canyon.
Mind the canyon.
We're sorry, the canyon.
Please mind the canyon.
Mind the canyon.
Hello and welcome to Mind Canyon. I'm Steve Dawson, according to IMDb.
And I am Charlie Kemp, although my IMDb Pro has just run out.
I'm sorry to hear that. It can be frustrating to be late, but there's always a good reason.
Yeah, you could miss your bus.
Yeah, you could have overslept.
Got stuck in a toilet.
I got very involved in a discussion about toy cars.
My orgy overran.
I accidentally shot my mother.
I saw something.
I fell.
I got on a bus, and then the bus went to Spain.
Oh, look at me sat nav, and I drove right into the Pompidou Centre.
I'd never seen a plane before.
I thought I saw Willem Dafoe, but it wasn't Willem Dafoe.
I am Willem Dafoe. I'm late all the time.
That's okay, it's great that we saw Willem Dafoe, because I'm a big fan.
Now, today we want to talk about traffic jams.
Something we've all experienced, I'm sure.
It's really frustrating when you get stuck in a traffic jam, right? You sit in your car, you know, you need to get somewhere, you can be half an hour late, an hour late.
Sometimes there's a van or a lorry in front of you and you can't see what's causing the traffic jam or how long it is. That's frustrating.
Yeah, you just don't know where it's come from.
No.
And that happens to Mike and Charlize.
We were on our way to Yeovil, weren't we?
Yeah, to see my dad,
yeah.
Who was dying at the time, and so we were in a bit of a rush so that we could catch him in his last moments, you know.
Yeah, it was really crucial that we got there.
Oh, wow, okay. So when you got there, you know, what made you first realise that this was going to be a long time?
You mean when we got to the beginning of the traffic jam?
To the beginning of the traffic jam, yeah.
Well, it was probably the fact that it was stretching on seemingly into... the horizon. And all I could think the whole time was, oh no, my dad.
And it was really hard because you were driving and he was crying.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah. And driving, do you mean inching along?
Yeah, well, yeah, we actually, that's, jam. Yeah, we weren't really, we were at a stop.
Yeah, it was generous to say inching along.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt. Do you want sugar with your tea?
Yeah, seven, please.
Seven.
Sorry, can I just check? You don't want to interrupt.
Sorry, you started?
Yes, yeah, because you are interrupting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will. Should I not make the tea?
Well, you've started now. Let's go for that.
Yeah, okay, so seven sugars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seven?
Yeah.
Okay, and...
You look at me like it's weird.
I'll have, can I have seven sweeteners, please?
Seven sweeteners?
Yeah.
That's fine, Steve.
Can I have 12 sweeteners and 4 sugars?
Yeah, of course, mate, no problem.
Dorothy, do you want something else?
No, it's weird that he found our order weird when yours was, I would argue...
weirder.
Imminently more baffling.
I just want to lose weight, that's why.
Sorry, did you want something else?
No, we're fine, sorry.
Actually, sorry, I'd really love a Kit Kat if you've got one.
Chunky?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll take 3.
Sorry?
I'll take 3.
3?
If he's having 3, I'd like to have a couple more, please, too.
Okay, I'll have to dip to the shop.
Could you get some sweeteners and form them into the shape of a Kit Kat for me?
Yeah, no problem.
And just paint them round.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, what the...
So it was just you two in the car?
Yes. We left our children at home because we didn't want them to see a dying man.
No, they don't want to see that.
Were they with anyone? A babysitter?
Are you judging me for how I bring up my children?
Of course they were with someone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, with the dog. I mean, the dog's always looking after...
He's very responsible.
Very responsible.
He's an Alsatian.
Yeah,
so.
They're big.
Yeah.
Did you at any point really delve into the subject matter of the traffic jam, or...?
With his father being dead, I was more worried that their children were unsafe and we needed to get their children help.
I mean, but they clearly said that their children were being looked after by an Alsatian, so that seems to me
Sorry?
Okay. Is that not a...
Who's looking after your children at the moment?
Cat.
Cat your wife or cat your cat?
Cat my wife.
Okay, so you're sat there. An hour's gone. 2 hours has gone. 3 hours has gone.
Yeah.
4 hours has gone.
We've gone all the way through our Limp Bizkit CD.
You only had the one CD with you in the car.
Yeah, that was a shame.
You don't need anything else, do you? You know?
That would get you, what, a 45-minute journey?
Yeah, I think, well, it depends which album.
And so you're stuck there. At what point are you beginning to think, maybe I should get out of the car?
Well, it was probably when it started to rain, ironically, when it started to rain, because I thought, I just need to get in touch with something that isn't a car seat. And there's something about rainwater which I find very cleansing.
And it really made me need the toilet, because I just saw it and it just, that was it. I had to go.
I mean, that's actually where I met Mike, when we were out in the rain, because it turns out a lot of us had the same sort of idea. We'd sort of become, I don't know, just sort of crazed by our sort of car-y surroundings.
That was Niall Chesterton, the self-proclaimed leader of What Rose from the Traffic Jam.
I mean, I never really asked for that responsibility, but, you know, it got dark. And, after a while, it was sort of slightly difficult to find our way back to the road. I mean, we sensed that it was there. We could hear it turning away. We could hear, you know, dimly hear the same Limp Bizkit songs playing in the background, but there was no... sort of a sense of collective responsibility, I suppose. So we just sort of had to sort of... We broke into groups. Some foraged. Some attempted to hunt, but we weren't very good at hunting. So they sort of came back with things they'd found that looked a bit like animals, but weren't really animals.
If you find things... Mm. That look like animals and weren't really animals. Is that not still
wood.
Foraging?
I'll be honest, it was wood. It was wood, but we needed to keep morale high. So we found wood that looked like rabbits or other things you might have in a jolly camping environment.
Sorry, Niall, you're supposed to be getting on with work here.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, so there's just an interview you'd be about. Do you remember the...
I'm Charlie Kemp. One of the hosts of Mind Canyon.
Of what?
Mind Canyon. It's a very popular podcast.
Define popular.
Well, it's difficult really to tell how many people listen to it, but our friends have given it quite good ratings.
Exactly
on iTunes.
In what way is Mind Canyon helping getting tomorrow's projections complete?
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a friend of Charlie, and I gave a 5-star review.
Oh, thanks, Susan.
Yeah, I am. Mostly because Charlie asked me to.
Oh. Well, she must have popped in when I wasn't in. Yeah, she's a good sort. Now, we still haven't really spoken about, eventually, the length of time.
So they got into the traffic jam and it got dark.
Yeah.
And they were stuck there thinking, well, maybe this will abate. Maybe we'll get to see my father.
Yeah, they had the comfort of wooden animal-like...
Food. Yeah.
And the sweet sounds of Limp Bizkit.
Little did they know, though, unfortunately, that traffic jam was going to last 79 days.
Wow. I mean, that's 3 months, give or take.
It was a month.
It was day 32 when I finally hugged Niall. The tension had been building for a while, and Charlie's was very understanding. She understood that we had a special bond.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, I think because we were the first to have walked out into that sort of the madness beyond the car, but it made sense to us and we made sense to each other.
And this is all happening. You're hugging him and looking after him whilst your children are being looked after by an Alsatian.
Yes.
They were absolutely fine with the Alsatian. Yeah. I've got a dog cam. I could watch everything. I could see it all live.
He made them a Sunday roast.
Yeah.
He's very proactive.
Great and best Sunday roast, isn't it?
Yeah, better than us.
The Alsatian made a Sunday roast.
Yeah, we were eating wooden animals, so who do you think?
The kids were fine. The kids were absolutely fine.
Who's being looked after better, ask you that?
Okay, now you put it like that, that's a really good point. I mean, in many ways, you probably should have brought the Alsatian with you.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I wish we had actually.
That would have been better, yeah.
Well, I couldn't work out during any of this time. I mean, this wasn't that long ago that this happened. Mm. I would have assumed everyone had a mobile phone.
What, to be able to find out why?
Why something had
gone wrong.
Was there a reason?
But think about it, Charlie. You're in a car.
Yeah.
You pull out your mobile phone.
Yeah.
Who are you going to call?
Pete, we've mentioned about coming into the podcast studio and making jokes, haven't we?
Isn't it? I thought Ghostbusters seemed like a nice like joke. Ghostbusters, because you said who you're going to call.
I know he said that, but this wasn't. This is a serious podcast. Someone's father was dying.
My dad was dying.
An Alsatian was looking after children. Two men hugged each other on day 32.
I've been waiting behind the curtain for just an opportunity to show my worth, and I just felt like that was the perfect chance.
You haven't shown your worth.
It wasn't the perfect chance.
Right.
Could you just get some drinks? Can I get a tea with 12 sweeteners and 4 sugars, please?
Yes. I'll have what she's having. No, it doesn't. Okay.
Can you just explain that? I'll have what she's...
It's another film reference,
right?
Because I said Ghostbusters earlier, and then I made a reference to When Harry Met Sally.
Let me have a little... I told you before, okay? Film references are not jokes, okay? They're just references. People recognise them, okay?
Isn't there a shared joy to that, though? Aren't people,
you know... It's not a joke. You can't expect everyone to listen. If they know the film, they'll laugh. If they don't, they won't.
Titanic.
Just get the teas and coffees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is everything okay there with Pete? All I heard was somebody shout Titanic.
Yeah, he's fine.
I was just thinking about Titanic and, as it was sinking, and they're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, fuck! Just get the teas and coffees. Now, from all of the things, in all seriousness about the mobile phone, I absolutely agree. Who are you going to call? The police, the RAC, the AA, the BBC's information line about traffic. Was there a reason? Because from what I understand, we went to speak to Jennifer Saunders, who was the head of BT Communications at the time.
Hello, yes.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, hi, yes. Well, I just was amazed that... We didn't get a single call from anybody in that traffic jam.
Not a single call?
Not a single call in 79 days. I mean, you tell me. Why didn't anybody call us? That's what we're here for.
I mean, that is what we're here for, is to find out why...
Oh, right.
...didn't anyone...
Whilst we're also here, I called Australia for about 3 hours yesterday, and I could... It's really cost a lot. Is there anything you can do to get that off your bill?
No, what you're asking me to do there is fraud. I can't. That's illegal.
Not between friends, it's not.
I've just met you.
Okay. I'm Steve.
Okay, hello, Steve. Cool. No,
could
I can't.
Take off my bill now,
no,
please?
I really won't.
Okay. Fine.
Okay. Please don't ask me again. We're here to talk about why nobody called us.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, get back to the point.
Was there something to do with the signal? In the area? Had the signal gone down?
Yes, that's actually possibly what happened. Yes, I think there is a bit of a dip where some of our signals can't get through, and we think that is actually possibly why.
Was that a sour cream and chive dip, or was it a...
Are you trying to be funny?
I noticed that some of your script had been written by Pete in that
interview. Was furious about that. I will be honest, I was proud... Because it wasn't a film reference.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's done great.
So he's obviously learnt something from previous.
Very disconnected from the main information that we were trying to ascertain.
I mean, no more than you asking for money off your bill.
It's very expensive.
Like tiramisu salata, that's expensive. I do dips now.
Sorry, just one more. Pete.
Yeah.
Pete. I'm going to be honest with you, Steve's patience is stretched to the very limit.
But it wasn't a film reference.
No, it wasn't a film reference, but sometimes you don't have to look for the joke all the time. Sometimes you just bring us teas, empty the bins, line up the tracks.
Okay.
And then you can go and sit outside if you want, or go to the park.
Okay, I'll go for a wander.
Yeah. All right. Great, Pete. All
Thanks.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want some smints?
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Take them. Enjoy them when you're in the park.
Okay. I will. Thank you, Johnny.
Sorry.
Now, being stuck in a traffic jam for that long can be quite a toll on the mind.
Yeah.
I mean, what can that do to a person, Charlie?
Well, actually, we spoke to a couple of psychologists who are specifically versed, I believe, in transport psychology.
Hello, my name is Brian Lithgow, and this is...
I'm Tracy.
If people are stuck in a sort of confined space or you know, with a small area to roam around, what can that do to a man?
Oh, it can send them crazy. Absolutely bonkers.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like a cuckoo.
pretty much like a cuckoo.
Yeah, you're
using references to clocks, Tracy.
Yeah, yeah. Voice. Sorry, I'm the joker.
Yeah, she is. She's my ray of sunshine, aren't you?
keep you on your toes.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, yes, very good. Yes, but experimentally, you see, we generally lock ourselves up in confined spaces together for very long periods in order to test exactly what you're talking about.
And I go mental.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely
you have
mental.
Gone quite mad several times, haven't you, Tracy?
I lose it. I just lose the plot.
Are you two married?
Oh,
are you two together?
No way.
No way.
No. Have you seen him?
Yes, I'm quite hideous.
No, fine. I'm just quite close together, that's all.
It's for science. It's very much for science. Yeah. It's nothing to do with a craving for intimacy.
No.
Just talk me through one of your experiments.
He chains me up to his ankles most days.
Yes, that's right, yes. So she sort of has to sort of walk in sync with have to walk in quite, sync, quite yeah. horrifyingly in clanking sync with each other,
yeah,
don't, because
cool.
they're quite heavy.
Yes, I sold him my chains and handcuffs. I didn't ask what it was for. I never ask.
That's probably a wise policy as a chain and handcuff salesperson.
Yes. Yes, you don't want a paper trail.
Charlie, I noticed when you spoke to him, you said it was a wise policy to not ask about why you're selling somebody chains or restraints.
Yeah, and I see the problem now. I'm supposed to ask him why he'd sold chains.
I get it. It's not just that. I just don't think it's a wise policy of anyone selling any form of restraint that could be used in some sort of
kidnapping or anything to
not keep a paper trail.
Okay, yeah.
Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Oh, Brian's kidnapped me loads of times.
Yes, several times.
Yeah,
yes.
Like put a hood over my head, put me in the boot.
Oh, yes, no, that's the boot is sort of where we started, really, wasn't it?
That was
sort of back before we got our grant from the Royal Society, and we were able to branch out into larger but ironically smaller facilities.
I just noticed there's no paperwork around this office. Do you write this stuff up? Do you?
Sometimes you tattoo it on me, don't you?
I do, yes, that's one of the things I do sometimes.
Now, you're the tattoo artist that worked on the citation, the thesis of the psychologist. We were finding it very difficult to get any information out of them regarding the psychology behind being stuck in traffic. I was wondering if maybe you remember anything from the tattooing.
Yeah, well, it was about a 5,000-word essay.
Yeah.
So it took ages, but you know what, because it's quite boring tattooing day in
yeah,
day out, so actually it was nice to have some reading material. It's to do with the cerebral cortex of the brain and feeling agoraphobic, a combination of agoraphobia and claustrophobia.
Oh, so like two contrasting emotions, almost like a, what do they call it now, this cognitive dissonance in a sort of...
That's exactly
sense
right,
of
yeah.
Yeah.
And it just meant that the result was that these people felt so pressured. They just had to find a release, so they did.
Thank you so much for that. And if you just...
Yeah, do you... Just a,
yeah, just an
just
angel.
A butterfly.
Oh.
Well, I'm halfway through now. I mean, they've both got wings.
Yeah, but... Butterfly is fine. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose I can just make a person under the butterfly.
Yeah, just do that. Just do a butterfly with the person under it.
So, traffic jams have been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
What's that on your arm?
Oh, it's a butterfly with a person under it. I think he's kind of an expert in psychology because he was really fascinated.
Right, okay.
As a tattoo artist, he doesn't listen. I often think that maybe Brian Lithgow and Tracy should maybe, well, I don't know if tattooing's right for them, maybe working in some kind of sex dungeon or something would be more appropriate.
To be honest, I did put that question to Brian and Tracy.
Well, that has come up a few times, yes.
We get told that a lot.
We do get told that a lot, well, because we like to sort of put a lot of presentation when we sort of present our findings, don't we, Tracy?
Presentation.
Well, we like to sort of
put on a show.
Put on a bit of a show, yes.
Right.
And so when we have
Where
to.
Where did you put on the show?
Just to the.
Well, mostly Brian's friends, isn't
most
it?
My friends, yes.
Yeah, I'm a friend of Brian. It was lovely. And yes, I gave him 5 stars on iTunes. I don't know how it's on iTunes, but it is.
So I can get you a tea.
Yes, please. I have it very brown.
So when it comes to traffic jams, you know, this isn't the first time there's been a traffic jam, is it?
No. I mean,
there's been many in the.
You can look throughout history. You can see traffic jams.
That's why we spoke to an expert in transport to find a bit more about the history of the traffic jam.
When we spoke to this expert, they were actually playing a game of cricket.
It's okay here in the silly mid-off? Is this okay?
Yep. Bowling train.
What was the first ever traffic jam?
Well, of course, the first traffic jams would have just been sort of bacteria just getting in each other's way.
LBW!
So when it comes to mechanical transport, what's the first ever?
The first ever actually recorded traffic jam was actually in Bristol in 1820.
Before the invention of the car?
Before the invention of the car, which was extraordinary. Everybody was very impressed because it wasn't obviously a real car. People had theorised about cars quite heavily until that point. And,
oh, stop! Catch!
How's that?
That was a really good catch.
Well, I'm really good at cricket.
Yeah. Oh, darling, you didn't tell me you had visitors.
Fiona! Sorry, Fiona, is it Steve?
Steve, yes.
Hello, Steve. Hello. Very nice, I'm so sorry. We haven't got any. So have we got enough cucumber sandwiches to go around? I don't know. I'm sure we could find some more. I could do some.
I've got a flask of tea, actually.
Oh, lovely. Yes,
how many sugars would you?
Oh, are you going to give me a cup of tea?
Yes, we've got a flask.
Oh, I'd love one, please.
Sugars?
Could you just pour some Coke in that, please?
Coke.
Coca-Cola. I like a lot of sugar.
And the tea. Okay.
Yes, please.
Coke. Yeah. And you?
Oh, no, just some boiling water.
That's brilliant. So, these cucumber sandwiches are really good.
I'm glad you're enjoying them.
Thank you, it's really good. There's something about this specific traffic jam, because...
Oh, the Bristolian traffic jam of 1820.
Yes, yes. What caused it to be a jam if it was one car?
It was only that's the thing, you see. Like, everybody was on foot, but they sort of were so bamboozled by the car itself that the line stretched behind.
It sort of backed up.
Sort of backed up, yes. So there was just a huge deluge, a biblical exodus of people behind this one thing, marvelling at this, what they thought was a car, but was in fact just a very, very complicated cart.
Were people considered to be traffic?
It's rude.
Well, technically, if one vehicle is involved, then it can become traffic. It's very much a semantic issue.
We had to stop the interview at that point because, you were hit quite badly on the head by a cricket ball.
Yeah,
at that stage. We had to take you to hospital. And then you actually had to stay in for 2 days for monitoring, didn't you? So I went back to Mike and Charlize.
The thing is, we don't think of it now as a traffic jam. We think of it as a very long holiday.
A great holiday, actually.
Absolutely.
Much needed.
But in terms of the cause of it, because, as you say, I mean, there were a lot of factors that coalesced that day. The dip.
The
phone signal was out of reach.
What was that dip? Was it a... was that a hummus dip?
Charlie?
Yeah.
So Pete wasn't writing that script, was he?
No, I did like what Pete did. I thought it just sort of seemed like too good an opportunity to...
And leave you alone for 2 days.
I also redecorated a bit in the podcast studio.
Did you do that mural?
Yeah, I did that mural
Why
myself.
Why is a butterfly with a man underneath it?
That's my thing now. That's my sign.
Guy's got a delivery here, sorry. Yeah, sorry, just got some chains. Where do you want them?
Just leave them down in the corner.
Okay, you want me to drill them in, or...?
I mean, if you would, is
yeah,
that
okay? Yeah, I've got my drill. Okay? Yeah, yeah, it's part of the service.
Okay, that's great. And you don't need to know why we need them.
No, we never ask.
Okay,
I need to know why we need them. I need to know why we need them.
I just thought it might be useful to have chains.
Right.
In the studio. Why wouldn't you want...
Oh, guys, it's like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's a good one, Pete.
You name it.
I'm sorry.
Hey, jeez, I thought you went to dicks anyway.
I like smints.
I'm surprised he hasn't stopped talking about the smints since I gave him the smints.
Why is that? What? That looks like a swing.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. We've got a swing now.
There you go, lads, all done.
Thanks a lot. Do you need a tip?
Yeah,
or,
that'd be nice, yeah.
Yeah, £200.
I don't know what you tip a chain person.
£200, yeah, yeah. Mate, yeah.
Wait, you guys can pay people money?
No. Pete, no. No, that was a one-off. She was a special lady, so we paid the special lady.
Oh, okay. I'll just take my mints.
Now, Mike and Charlize talk about this sort of event as a very happy event. And despite the growing closeness of Mike and Niall, the self-declared leader of the group, he seems to remember a very much more antagonistic relationship.
There's going to be fights. There's going to be fights for resources, for honour, occasionally. There's a sort of strange code developed amongst the jammers, as we came to know ourselves. A sense of social hierarchy as well, you know, odd little things, strange things became sort of symbols of status. People who had particularly nice sun blinds, you know, those ones that go up in front of the car there, the ones that make it look as if there's a group of dogs driving the car or something like that. If you had one that had a particularly photorealistic image on it, that was... That was big news. You got larger rations of wood.
There was the hubcap tribe as well, who sort of built mediocre shelter out of just hubcaps.
There was the ones with those nodding dogs at the back of the car. They used that to entertain other kids.
There was a group of people who made a nest out of torn up Ada's heads, which they just sat on for days and days on end.
I just made a group up on my own, and I just sat in my car on my own, listening to Limp Bizkit.
I made a makeshift Barbie out of one of the engines.
We were part of the European section of the Jammers. I mean, we didn't feel welcome.
No, not particularly, no. We sort of felt that we were partitioned a little bit.
A couple of the Europeans tried to get into me Eat His Head nest at one point, so I threw eggs at them.
A couple of those Europeans tried to get in on my Barbie, but I just turned on the hot gas and I sprayed it at them and they got a bit burnt.
Me and my wife, we bought some chains and created a sex dungeon in our car. Bloody Europeans, they came in and they started having sex in our sex dungeon.
You're particularly partial to the sex dungeon.
Yes, we're just trying to be friendly with people, and people just interpret it in the wrong way.
We were hoping for a situation where we could share and share alike.
Yes. Something we always say is, oh, sorry, I'm late. My orgy went on too long.
You know, I did regret getting in the car with the Europeans. But, you know, you took it well. And you know, actually, I think it's made us stronger.
Well, I was at that point in such a deep, intense relationship with Niall that I thought it was only fair that you should seek a release. Even if it was with those European traitors.
Yeah.
Mike and I, by this point, were extremely close. Of an evening, we would sort of go off on our sort of nightly vision quests together out onto what initially we thought was a lay-by, but actually backed onto a full forest. And we'd strip just a sort of rudimentary loincloths that we'd made using material torn from the seats of the car.
And we'd just run. And it was the happiest I've ever been.
I'm going to fast forward it because most people may not have heard of this traffic jam, but they may well know the film.
Directed by Quentin Tarantino.
This is my fucking car. This is my fucking car. This is my fucking jam.
You don't fucking know your shit.
Fuck you shit. You don't fucking know my car shit.
You want to talk big? I got a shotgun. I'm pointing it right at your booze.
Hey, what the fuck? Fucking fuck.
Fuck! This guy.
This...
Sake.
Fucking sex dungeon, fuck.
And it got a best screenplay as well, didn't it?
It was a great script. It really was.
It was. I mean, we could just watch that last final scene.
Let's watch that.
I mean, we'll just watch this as it builds the crescendo.
The shared.
Fuck.
The world that we shared. The lives that we shared. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you.
Wait. This is a bomb.
They kind of left the ending open to a sequel, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I thought it was very strange because there was a lot of dialogue going on, but it seemed to be one person just saying the word fuck.
But yeah, there's that one guy, wasn't there? But I was just looking on IMDb at the moment. I've just noticed... he's not actually even credited in the show. I think he just walked on set.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm a sort of guerrilla extra.
It took a while for us to track you down because, I mean, you are literally not on any film.
Hello from Planet of the Apes.
Pete, sorry, this is Pete.
That's funny.
That is good. Yeah. That is good.
Did I do it right?
Yeah,
that's good,
you did. Well, Pete, well done. Here, have another smint.
Oh, yes. Love you, fucking smint.
Because if you look at the highest-grossing movies, you are in all of them.
Oh, yeah, all of them. Absolutely all of them. Well, going back about, 40 years.
Steve, I've just been looking at the accounts.
Yeah.
You spent over £10,000 trying to hunt down the Gorilla Extra.
It was really hard to find him.
That was really more of an aside than anything. I mean, he's...
You know what I'm like when I get obsessed with something?
Yeah, it's just I'm paying Pete in smints and... you're spending £10,000 travelling the world. I mean, did you believe he was in Bahamas?
Did I believe he was in the Bahamas?
At any point.
Did you see the photos of me looking really hard in the Bahamas?
I saw photos of you in the Bahamas.
There you go.
You had a very interesting meeting with three survival experts, didn't you, from Survival Club?
The Survival Club was shut at the time, so we did it at my house, my mum was in.
Obviously, if you've got any books with you, you can always try and boil them for the glue that binds them, which is actually quite nutritious once you actually boil it down. It's actually what they did in Stalingrad. It makes a sort of, they actually call it book candy.
What candy?
Book candy.
Book candy. Aye. Right, I see. And you can use that for what?
Just as a sort of basic sustenance. There's some salts in there and some strange...
Mum, can you turn the music down? I've turned your podcast! I don't care! I've got some survival experts in here!
She's on radio too. She's doing a bit about Fiddler on Roof.
Put in your headphones!
So, when it comes to survival, I mean, you've got to keep clean. Are there good ways of kind of making sure hygiene is important?
Yeah. So, essentially, we recommend that that you use whatever you've got around you. So if that's bodily fluids or whatever's in the car, sometimes there's water that people use to...
Put up in a jar.
Yeah. Or where your windscreen wipers are and there's water, you've got to use that. You've got to use whatever.
You once drank the contents of the wiper containers once,
didn't
you? You were stuck in a particularly nasty jam back in...
Did. Completely burnt my esophagus.
There's also... You've got to remember you've got the oil in the car as well. You've got your oil... A dipstick.
Yes.
If you keep dipping your dipstick, and you could then smear it on your face to provide an insulating layer
against
to protect
the sun.
You. Yeah.
It also looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. I mean, a little racist, but it does the trick.
But if you do sort of little bits under your eyes like that. Sorry.
Mom! I said turn it down!
What?
I said turn it down!
Right, do your friends want tea? I'm sorry, do your friends want tea?
Do you guys want tea?
Oh, yes, please.
How'd you take it?
With an entire Yorkie dissolved into it.
Instead of tea, coffee.
Have you got milk?
Hang on.
Have I got milk?!
Yes!
Yes, we got milk.
Yeah, I don't want milk.
Cool.
Right, can I get one tea with a Yorkie dissolved in it? One tea that's not a tea, but it's a coffee. And one tea without milk. Oh, can I get tea as well? 12 sweeteners, 4 sugars.
What about, health? you know, if you hurt yourself.
Yes.
What about health? If you hurt yourself.
Sorry, have you got a Kit Kat with that?
Yeah, sure.
Mom!
Yes.
Have we got a Kit Kat?
Chunky.
Do you want a chunky one?
Oh, like two fingers, please.
She wants a two-fingered one!
Now, that was the sort of moment I would have thought Pete would have made a joke about. So I got concerned and I thought, what's happened to Pete? And it turns out that that Jimmy Carr has actually taken Pete on board as one of his writers.
I think the main thing I could not stop thinking about was, what was at the end of the jam?
Anyway, I didn't... I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but personally, I didn't want to know. I'm sort of grateful that this interlude had happened in my life that took me away from endless projections.
Sorry, talking about projections, have you got those projections done? No?
Sorry, just finishing up my
ear. It's your bloody ear.
Well, they are, actually, yeah. Sorry, I should have offered you tea, really, shouldn't I?
And in terms of you guys, you never discovered what it was, and in the end, Your Alsatian, let me get this straight, your Alsatian got full custody of the kids.
We sometimes see them at holidays, but yeah, I mean, he's doing an incredible job with them.
He is better than us, actually.
Yeah.
And they're in the right place, you know, they're with the right dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of the cause of the crash, I mean, everybody says they don't know what it was, but I think deep down, I'm pretty sure it was how my dad died.
Which was?
I think he threw himself in front of a car.
Yeah.
Right.
He did.
Right, and God, that's... They never found...
Oh, no, there's no evidence of it. But it's the only thing I can think of as to why I never saw him again.
Mm.
Right.
Did you... Once the traffic jam was over, did you drive to his house, or did you just decide that was how he died and leave?
We just left. And said goodbye to Niall and promised never to see each other again because it was too painful.
Yeah.
I get the real sense, actually, that the emotional scars were the biggest scars.
Yeah. So I ended up contacting the council and asking if they had any information. Apparently it was Roadworks.
Roadworks. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, it's Steve.
And Charlie.
And we just wanted to just thank you for getting to the end of this podcast. You've done really well.
Yeah, your prize is in the post.
Yes, and if you also want to give us a prize, then you should subscribe and
review us.
Review us on iTunes or Stitcher or, I don't know, like whatever platform you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if you did like it, just tell your friends, tell everyone about it. And if you didn't, you know, just
keep it to yourself.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
What
or recommend
Stop
something else.
Stop blabbing your mouth like, up about you know, how bad podcasts are.
Exactly. We give
Jesus.
Free content. What do you want? Unbelievable. Oh, and
thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.